Tonight I'd like to speak faith as a fruit, because faith is a fruit and faith is a gift. Now let me say this, that both are directly linked to the Holy Spirit. And there's something we have to know about the person of the Holy Spirit, and that is that faith is part of the whole package of the Holy Spirit. There is a faith that's linked to his works, and there's a faith that's linked to his personality. By personality, I mean his character. We can view faith from both angles, but I'd like to talk about faith and the Holy Spirit. Faith and the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of faith being a gift as one of the nine gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. I want us just to know today that the Holy Spirit has many, many, many gifts that aren't mentioned here in 1 Corinthians. So we have to just understand that when God mentions here through Paul these nine gifts, he's not limiting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to these nine gifts. There are many, many expressions of the Holy Spirit that are gifts given to man that are powerful and wonderful and not mentioned in here, but they're mentioned throughout all of the Bible. The gift of power is not mentioned here, although it is mentioned in other places. When the Spirit of the Lord would come upon people, they would do great exploits. That's because there was the presence of the Holy Spirit was in their life. When the Holy Spirit is expressing his works, when the Holy Spirit is working or he's doing something, the expression of the Holy Spirit working, all things that the Holy Spirit works must have faith present in it. When it talks about gifts, I'd like us to differentiate the two, and I'm going to give you a little example so that, and actually this example I took out of the book of Derek Prince on faith, because it was so clear. He said if we were to take two trees side by side and we'd make one a Christmas tree like they used to have them many years ago, where people used to tie the gifts to the branches of the Christmas tree. They didn't put them under the Christmas tree. They'd tie them to the branches. And so a Christmas tree would have all kinds of gifts on it. We today put them up underneath. If you would picture in your mind this Christmas tree with all the gifts hanging on it, think of it now as the Holy Spirit that has gifts for all of us. And he takes these gifts, but it doesn't speak of the tree itself. It just speaks about the fact that that tree has gifts on it that are for us. Next to this Christmas tree in our mind's eye, we'd like to put an apple tree. Now, an apple tree, instead of having gifts that aren't related to the tree at all, the gift of the apple on the tree is related to the tree because it's speaking to us about the nature of the tree. And the tree is producing something that is capable of giving life to those who eat it, who partake of it. So we can get a gift off of a Christmas tree and enjoy it and use it. However, you can take a gift off of an apple tree and you can eat it and it will become life to you, and it transmits into you the life that's into it, because the tree had to produce life. Now in the Bible, although it uses the vine, Jesus being the root and the tree, the vine, he talks about fruit. He talks about our lives as the branches carrying fruit. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't only want to be active in us, he wants to live and show forth his character through us. And here's where we have the Christmas tree with gifts on it, and here's where we have the apple tree with actual fruit on it that has to do with the nature of that tree. That's why a lemon tree won't bear an apple, nor will an apple tree bear a lemon, because it has to bear and produce after the nature of the tree that has made it. Because what it is saying is that this tree, this is the product of this tree. So I'd like to take nine gifts of the Spirit and compare it to nine fruits of the Spirit. And you will find, curiously, that faith is on the Christmas tree and faith is on the apple tree. Because faith takes on the nature. It's almost like a chameleon that will take on the color of whatever background it's on. That faith will take on the nature of that which it's on. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us a gift. We understand why. There's the gift of faith that is good for the operation of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying by this? that there is a faith to do works, and there is a faith to be works. There is a faith that we use, given to us by the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that is to be exercised by us, and it's given to us just like the Christmas tree. You go and tie the you tie the gift to it, and then immediately somebody takes it off. Whereas the apple had to take a long time of process to produce that fruit. That fruit started taking from the nature of the tree little by little by little by little. Whereas the Christmas tree, it was just an act. Someone went, tied it up, and then it's gone. Now let me explain to you the difference between the faith as a gift and the faith as a fruit. Because the faith as a gift is the instantaneous gift that God gives you in a moment to have faith for miracles or healings or to bring about a word of God for someone, whether it's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. All these gifts here work through the self-spirit. It works, but it's the faith that God gives you at that instant to do the works of the Holy Spirit on earth. To allow the Holy Spirit to work on earth, he needs the vehicle of faith. And so he gives you God's faith. That's why Jesus spoke of God's faith. That's why when he came up, he dried up the tree by a curse that he put on it because he didn't find fruit on it. And the disciples were amazed the next day when they came by 24 hours later and the tree had withered up, because normally a tree takes a long time to wither up, even if it had died that day. They were amazed that the process was so accelerated. And Jesus said, have the faith of God. In other words, he said, if you just have God's faith, if you have the one that he gives you instantaneously, not the one that grows out of a life of walking with God, but the faith that comes in an instant. It's not yours, it's a gift. That's why it's called one of the gifts of the Spirit, because it's not a faith you walk around with. I mean, even great healers and great miracle workers, they have to get into the ambient that releases that faith from God to them. In the case of Benny Hinn, he has to create an atmosphere of worship. And when an atmosphere of worship is taking place and the anointing of the Spirit comes down and the presence of the Lord can be detected by him, that's what ignites that faith in him. And suddenly he'll say healing and miracles are breaking out everywhere. Well, they're breaking out because he's speaking him into existence. But the faith was given to him at that moment. And from then on, during that service, he has a faith that's given to him by God. Many people, like Smith Wigglesworth and others, when people would tell them that they had the gift of healing and miracles, they said, no, we have the gift of faith. In other words, at that given moment, God will plant a faith in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And it's the faith in 1 Corinthians here that is talking about as a gift. God will give that gift to them right as they walk up to a man in a wheelchair that's been there all their life and has no possibility of ever rising out of it, and saying, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And that man's going to walk because the gift of faith was given to him to operate miracles and healings. We all can have that gift of faith, and you cannot raise anybody out of anything until that faith is given to you. Healing, different than miracles, is when God stops a disease and lets it cure out for a period of time and lets the body do its work, that's a healing. But if God reverses the plan and makes it all in one big swap or creates a new part for the individual, that's a miracle. And the specific faith for one and specific faith for the other. And God can give specific faith for someone's sins to be forgiven him at that moment. That's why Jesus said to many, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up off your bed and walk. Now, there's two specific faiths that were given to him by the Father at that instant. The faith to forgive and the faith to heal were both given to him at that same instant. Now, Jesus walked continuously by the Holy Spirit, and without the gift of faith, he could not operate in the miracles that he had. You see, what happens is that Jesus never said he did the works. He said the Father did through the Holy Ghost. And he was very aware that it was the Holy Spirit expressing himself through his life. We as individuals have the Holy Spirit inside of us. When we were born again by the Spirit, he came and dwelt inside of us. He is living and dwelling inside of us. That same Spirit is the one that will give you in an instant. He will give you a word of knowledge. He will give you a word of wisdom. He will give you a tongue. He will give you a prophecy. He will give you a faith. He will give you a specific faith for whatever needs you have. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're going down the street and he says, I want you to talk to this individual or I want you to talk to that individual, and you're sitting there hemming and hawing around because you just don't feel like doing it because you really don't know what to say to this individual. But in that moment, it shall be given to you, because that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as you walk up to that individual, all you really have to do is open your mouth and say, well, hello, or Happy New Year, or whatever. And immediately then the Holy Spirit engages and manifests himself. You see, we are either manifesting our spirit, we're manifesting the devil's spirit. That's why we say about people to start manifesting. You know, we say they're manifesting the devil. Well, you know what? We manifest the Holy Spirit. And the way we manifest is the Holy Spirit. You can tell when the Holy Spirit is there because these gifts of the Holy Spirit will become apparent. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will be there present. And if we learn how to release the Holy Spirit, tonight we could have learned a little bit better about how to release, but I left us on our own to see how far we could go. But the bottom line here is that the Holy Spirit has to be engaged inside of us and released so that he can manifest himself. And so when the Holy Spirit manifests his works, he does that through the gifts. And the faith that's tied to a Christmas tree that has nothing to do with the nature of the person that's living in there is just something he gives you momentarily for the work to be done. And as quick as the work is done, it's gone. It has no lasting effect other than to do what it was meant to do. And as soon as that word is over, the manifestation of the Spirit is gone. It's done its work. And he did his work and he used us. He used our body to do it with. And so we see here in 1 Corinthians 12, we see the word of wisdom, number one, the word of knowledge, number two. Faith is the third one by the selfsame Spirit. Now, this gift of faith is the one that I'm telling you the Lord gives you in an instant for any given reason to produce and do the works of the Father on earth. And that faith manifests itself in an instant and then just disappears in another instant. He can give you the faith to walk over to this paralyzed person and said, walk in the name of Jesus, they're going to walk. And there's a person right next to him and begs you to pray for them. And if he doesn't give you that faith, you better just not pray, because if you pray, they're not coming up. Because God, the Holy Spirit, will give you that faith when the job is meant to be done. Without that faith, we cannot do it. Without faith, it's impossible to do any work of God on earth. You say, well, you know, I just don't know what to do with this. Well, who is the giver of that faith? God is the giver of that faith. If he puts you in a situation and puts it on your heart to do whatever, to pray for this old person in a hospital or child in a hospital or on the street or whatever, then faith surges in your heart and you know that God is there to do it. And other times you're just hemming and hawing and praying and hoping that God will heal them, and you're on your own and you know that you're on your own. But man, you can be praying for an individual in a hospital or anywhere, and suddenly there's a surge that comes over you, and you begin to command healing into their body. Your body motions change, your voice changes, and the authority of Christ the Lord comes upon you, and you realize that it's him speaking through you, because now you have the word of wisdom, you have the word of knowledge, and you speak into that situation, and it's done, because faith was released through heaven. That's a little gift tied to the Christmas tree. It comes and it goes. And the same one that gives it takes it back. So, well, God's gifts are without repentance. Listen, his callings and his gifts are without repentance in that some of God's gifts that he gives you are there for you to stay. But then there's a discipline in learning how to use them too. And you have to understand that those that have walked in these areas of faith know what it's like. I know when God gives me a faith for a service. I know when he gives me a faith for a word. I know when that faith is operating. And I know as soon as it's through operating, somebody that's with me and goes home with me says, you know what, I wish you could be like you are in services all day long. Well, honey, I do too. But that's a faith that's given, and that's a faith that's not there, present, all day long. But now let me talk to you about the faith that is there present all day long, because there is another faith that is there present all day long. And if you look with me, I'll have to jump here because there's a lot more to do on gifts here. But let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. In the preceding verses of 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, we see that out of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, faith was one of the gifts and it was counted as a gift. But now in this passage, in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now think of fruit as an apple that grows over a long period of time, and the tree puts the fullness of what it has into its fruit. And it says that the fruit of the Spirit, that means that when the Holy Spirit is allowed to work in our nature and in our life, he will produce his characteristics, his image, and his way of being and his way of acting into our life. And we are going to begin to manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to begin to manifest? Well, we're going to begin to manifest love. There's nine here. Just like there were nine gifts, there are nine fruits. And the first of all is love, then joy, then peace, then long-suffering, then gentleness, then goodness. And seventh is faith. Now, it doesn't say here that it's a gift. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Then eight is meekness, nine is temperance. Now, it's talking about nine fruits of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit begins to manifest himself through an individual in whom he lives, you're going to start seeing these characteristics. You say, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit last night. How come I don't see all these things? Well, you can plant an apple tree, and it's going to take a while before you see an apple. And you're going to see them seasonally as well. You know, and the fruits of the Spirit aren't just an apple tree. They're an apple tree, an orange tree, a tangerine tree, and, you know, who knows how many different trees. There's nine different trees. There are nine character traits of the Holy Spirit that are manifested in Christians' lives. And one of those is called faith. Now, you say, well, how can faith be a gift and faith be also a fruit of the Spirit? Well, when faith was given as a gift, who did it? Think, who did it? 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, who gave it? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Remember we talked about people manifesting? Well, here's what happens. When people start manifesting the Spirit for the common good, to one is given. So who are they manifesting? The Holy Spirit. And then at the very end it says, but to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually such just as he wills. In verse 11, who is it speaking of? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit manifests himself through these works of power, and faith is one of them. And the Holy Spirit gives faith to us in a moment to work the things we need to work. But then there is the same Holy Spirit that has gift to give to us at times to work miracles and to do other things like this, is the same Spirit that out of his wells of salvation and life pulls out a faith that's different, and it's a faith that's a fruit. It's a faith that's lasting. It's something that people can come and they can live off of that which the Holy Spirit has given to us. Faith works through what? Faith works through love. If you stop and think of it, there was a man who once said that these nine gifts should really be interpreted into one gift. That you could wrap everything, all the essences of what the Holy Spirit is, and into one. And you could make that love. You could make that love. Want me to read it to you different? Let me read it to you just a little bit different. Another way to understand this verse in Galatians 5, verse 22, would be to say this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So joy is love's strength. Peace is love's security. Long-suffering is love's patience. Goodness is love's character. Faith is love's confidence. Meekness is love's humility. Temperance is love's victory. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy being its strength, the strength of love, and so on and so forth. Now, however it is we read these, we understand that there is a difference between gifts and fruits. You say, well, you're confusing me. No, because there are times we need an injection of faith for whatever it is we're going to do. People have leaped over walls. They've gone through the middle of armies. Leprous people have gone into the midst of an army and discovered a great thing that God had done, a victory that God had given them, and brought food to a whole city of people, a whole nation of people that were starving. People filled with the Holy Spirit have picked up gates of a city, several thousand pounds in weight, and carried them off and put them on top of a mountain, took a whole army of people to try to bring them down again. People filled with the Holy Spirit in one instant of time could go in the middle of battle and slay thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. No one has the strength and energy to do that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's come upon them. People who have been able to prophesy things that nobody knew would happen. The Holy Spirit that gave instructions to priests about people who were to go to war, or that they would win it or that they would lose it. The Holy Spirit is at work continuously, and we need the Holy Spirit and we need His gifts. And we need that faith that just surges on us momentarily to do whatever job God has given us to do. And at that moment it works. And you sort of shake yourself afterwards and say, man, what was that? And you wish you could live in that. And you almost try to pretend like it, but you know it's just not there. It just isn't there. In fact, you're surprised at yourself. You were so bold at that given moment. Because there was something given to you that was momentary. That was only for the moment. But faith as a fruit is the product of someone that believes all things. It's just a constant, permanent, permeating attitude of believing. No matter, you read in the Bible and it's just like, yes. It's not a no. It's the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself. Listen, if you're reading something in God's Word and it's just like, you know what, I don't believe this, you're manifesting a devil. The evil heart of unbelief. We are manifesting something other than the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you this about the Holy Spirit. Faith is a fruit. So there has to be a tree producing faith. There, the Holy Spirit, which is rooted in God and in our heart, is slowly but surely producing believers. A believer isn't a person that one day said, I believe in Jesus Christ, accepted the Lord, and from now on we call them believer. No, a believer is a person that believes all things. I remember one time we were traveling with Papa and Mama Dorn. We were going to a conference together. I forget from where, from Kentucky to Indiana somewhere. And, you know, after an hour or so of talking together and reminiscing over the things that God has done, he was scratching his head like that. And he said, Robert, you're just such an unusual person. And I'm thinking, what's he going to say next? Normally people don't say things that are too nice. So I wasn't expecting anything too nice. And he said these words. He said, you believe everything. And I said, I what? He said, you just believe everything. He said, I've told you some of the weirdest stuff and you just believe it. And I said, why shouldn't I believe it? Let me tell you something weirder than that. You see, I just give that as an example, not to set myself up, because I'm sure this has happened with you. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest His person in our life, slowly and surely, we will become believing people. And I have discovered in my life through example, now here I'm going to give you the other side of me just so you don't put me on a pedestal somewhere. I have discovered that when you've been hurt in life, you can become quite unbelieving. And you start manifesting devils of unbelief in your life. It's like, he's still going to believe. He's not going to heal me. 5 years, he hasn't. He's not going to heal me. Not going to do anything for me. You let the Holy Spirit start working inside of you and start manifesting Himself. You're going to start seeing a fruit that's different than the instant faith you have in a given moment to do the works of God on earth. But you're going to begin to see a steady flow of the fruit of faith in your life that expects all things, believes all things, and regardless of how deep the battle is and how black the dark night is and how impossible the situation is, I believe God. There is a nature inside of us that is believing, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what is happening in our life. That is the fruit of faith. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit, how do you think He cannot believe when everything that they ever set out to do, they did? Whether it was to throw a constellation up in the air and watch it float, to making a world that was not too close to the sun and not too far to freeze, so that people could live on it comfortably, more or less. There is a deposit of the nature of the Holy Spirit in us that begins manifesting itself. Now, let me say this. A fruit doesn't just come on a tree to look nice What do people on earth have fruit trees for? Both to eat and to give to eat of. You can only eat so many apples out of a 10,000 tree orchard. And after that, you're going to have to either make a business of it or be kind-hearted, because they're just going to drop off and rot on the ground. Amen? The fruits of the Holy Spirit are to infect the atmosphere in which we live. And if I used another word instead of infect, because we have a negative connotation to infect, is to invade or permeate the atmosphere that we are walking. Haven't you ever noticed that when you're around believing people, you just get a light spirit, and it's just like, man, you know what? I just feel good. You get around people that start manifesting unbelief, and you don't even think your marriage is going to make it. Get somebody else to walk around with. Get somebody else that doesn't just give you a burst of faith and then it's gone for them and you. Get someone that allows the Holy Spirit to begin to work His nature in them, and they're just quietly positive all day long. I've got that. Now I'm working on it. Because I begin to see that what it's saying here is that the Holy Spirit wants to start manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, one of which, the seventh of which, is faith. Faith works through love. These natures, you walk around people, no matter how much you hurt them, they're always forgiving you. Did you realize that? That's manifesting the Holy Spirit as a fruit. Because that is love. They have grace in their heart toward you no matter what. You can offend them over and over, and you know that you offend them. But they'll be your faithful friend like a dog that comes back to be kicked again. Have you noticed that? Huh? You notice how the Holy Spirit gets kicked over and over again by us, and He just keeps coming right back. We slide Him. We're angry with Him because He doesn't work enough in our life. We don't come to church half the year, and then we come and we want the presence of Jesus to touch us. Well, what's the Holy Spirit like? See, there to point in your fingers and say, well, where were you when I needed you? Aren't you glad that the fruits of the Spirit are temperance and long-suffering and meekness and humility and love and forgiveness? Boy, what a nature. And so what He would like to just little by little begin to produce the fruit. That's why Jesus said the Father just waits for the fruit. The husbandman waits for the hour when fruit begins to manifest in our life. That's what He wants to see. He wants to see His nature begin to shine through in us. And there is a fruit of faith that works. That's that underlying believing God. Boy, do I like to prophesy to people like that. The other kind of people are the ones that are trying to prove you wrong the moment they're walking out the door, and they go out to eat with somebody just to prove to them that what you said, you were so far off. They go out the door manifesting. But the other person believes all things. It didn't sound right. I don't know how it's going to be, but I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. Why? Because the nature of faith, the nature as a fruit, can begin to be seen. And the fruit is not only for us to eat and enjoy, and with that faith it produces a lot of stuff, but it also feeds other people. That faith is contagious. Those that have that faith, when a word's given to them, they'll walk out the door and say, praise the Lord. You know, I don't know how this is going to be, but I believe God. That was a word from God to me. Well, that's setting the next person up that's feeding off of your fruit. For the next time a word's given to them, they're going to believe too. Why? Because they ate from that fruit. How many times we've come in here despondent and discouraged, and the word of faith has come forth and begin that awesome something that says, God can do it, God can do it, God can do it. He can bring a dog home. He can do it. He's big enough. He can bring a dog home. Start radiating some of that fruit of faith that makes it real good eating for people get hungry. There's a lot out there that want to destroy people's faith. Hang around those that cultivate a faith. Now, we could go on, you know, we could make this several months of just talking about all these fruits and all these gifts, because they're so varied and so beautiful. And each one is a message in itself. I just chose to stay with faith. But faith is a gift, is an instant thing that God gives you, hangs it on a tree, and that didn't take very long. You just hung it for a second on your tree, and then you work it and open it and have fun with it, and then boom, it's gone. It's off the tree and it's gone. It's not there anymore. Instant on, instant off. Whereas the other one takes a long time to produce, and then you get to eat it and enjoy it, and other people get to enjoy it. But how many of you know that the tree doesn't just produce one and that's it? Thank God that right behind that one, there's another one. Man, I like to be around people so full of faith. About the time you ate, gobble up all one fruit, he's got another one ready for you. Gobble up that one, he's got another one ready for you. It's just this tree just produces. Don't you just love to be around people that love, that just the love of God just oozes out from them? You can, and man, you can just stay in the shadow of that love and just feel so protected, so loved, so enjoyed, so accepted. Amen. Then the mean old devil comes in and makes you feel like you're rejected by that person that has so much love in their heart. What a nasty guy. He can go manifest somewhere else. It is beautiful. It is beautiful to take of the fruit of those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to engrave his nature in them. And the Holy Spirit is so prolific. The Holy Spirit is just so full of vibrant life that he just pushes that fruit out everywhere. Come, folks, you need to be loved on. Come over here. We're going to hug your neck. Fruit of the Spirit is just so beautiful. The fruit of love, the fruit of meekness, the fruit of temperance, the fruit of those who won't go that extra mile to smash your nose when you deserve it. Meekness. Meekness. Those that accept what God is making, they don't have to keep pushing everybody aside to make it to the top. They're content with who God has made them to just serve the Lord in any capacity that they can. What beautiful fruits of the Spirit. Those kind of people are just nice to be around, just to drink off their fruit, just to take from their fruit and eat it and be around the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful. How can I draw from him except for the fruit that is all around us? That's why God puts you here. God put you here to manifest the fruits of faith, the fruits of life, that quiet faith that believes all things. It's not here questioning everything. It's a faith that just gobbles it up, that's hungry, that wants more of the Holy Spirit. So God has a faith that's a gift, and God has a faith that's a fruit. And that faith as a fruit has to do with our character, has to do with our nature. It reveals, a fruit reveals the tree. Whereas a gift hanging from a Christmas tree doesn't reveal anything. You could have a fir tree. You could have a, what other tree do we have? Pine tree. You could have any kind of tree. You could have a Douglas fir or any other kind of fir tree. You could not have a conifer tree. You could have one that's wide at the top. Instead of, you can have any kind of tree you can hang a tree. You can hang a gift up on. You can hang an inner tube gift on one if you want to and swing in it if you'd like. Same way it went up, it's coming down. That's the gift of faith. We need the gift of faith. It has its place in the body. Who gives it? The Holy Spirit. Where does it come from? The Holy Spirit. He gives it for a given moment. When you use it, you use it. It's like a bullet. You fire it, it's gone. Get another one. Amen. Don't try to shoot something the second time with the same one you just fired, because it's just going to click away and you're going to get nothing done. Amen? Oh, but faith, that stream of faith that comes from God is nothing like bullets that you fire off. Oh, absolutely not. It's like a well of faith with a pump that just never quits pumping. It just brings out, makes a lake, it makes a river. It just keeps flowing, continuously gushing from the heart of God. Can you imagine how much faith God has? If the Holy Spirit manifests that faith as a fruit in life of people that are just believing. Oh, may the Holy Spirit make us a believing people. Not just instant believers to receive Jesus Christ, but the fruit of faith, which is constantly believed. See, faith believes all things. Love believes all things. It doesn't even keep a record of evil. Why would it want to keep a record of evil? How precious love is. Boy, I get tempted to talk just about love. I like that fruit, don't you? Man, can it do a lot of good stuff? The character that we develop in this life will determine what we will be throughout eternity. We will one day leave our gifts behind, but our character will be with us forever. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when God said that he was going to give us fruit, he said about fruit that it would be everlasting, whereas gifts are for now. The gifts come, we use them, they do their work, and when we go, do we take them with us? No. Our works follow us, but our gifts don't. this faith that is a fruit in our life, this faith that doesn't just come to us in a moment, boop, and we got faith, and the next day we're down in the doldrums. Not that faith. That faith is a transient faith. It's a passive faith. The other one builds character. It builds the nature of God into our character. It begins to transform our character. It puts a believing character in you. And that character goes with you. So the fruits follow us. That's why the Bible says that our fruits follow us. Our fruits go with us. That is something that God wants to work into our life for that reason. We don't choose one at the expense of the other. Gifts do not exclude fruit, and fruit does not exclude gifts. Rather, they are intended to complement one another. Gifts should provide practical expression for character, just as they did perfectly in the person of Jesus himself. His loving, gracious character was expressed by the fullest possible exercise of spiritual gifts. Let me put it this way, in a more simple way. When people saw his good works, they praised the Father which was in heaven. You see, his love became manifest to them through the works that he did. That's how they understood it. If God never did a thing for you, you sure wouldn't know about his love too well. God manifests his love to us through things that he does for us. But how many of you know, haven't you had a wife or husband or friend or child or brother or sister or someone in a relationship with you ever tell you, you know, you can buy me things, but I need to feel a love that's something more than just you getting me things, just doing things for me. Heard that one before? So they go hand in hand. The faith that's a gift is the faith that's always doing something. But we need more than just a love that does something for me, just to, you know. Well, thank you, Lord, for providing for me this month, and thank you, Lord, for this. But, you know, sometimes I'd like someone to talk to. Well, here's a restaurant card. Go and eat at a restaurant. Well, thank you. That's very nice. That ought to prove to you I love you. Go and eat by yourself. And I'm on my way to the restaurant with this card, and I'm thinking, all right, thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to eat all by myself. I need to get something more out of this relationship than eating by myself. How many can relate to that? So God needs to do more for us than just send his love with a couple petals from heaven with a restaurant gift card on it. Relationship sometimes is just to hold someone in your arms, look at them in the eyes, and just let them feel that they're cherished. Let them feel like they belong to somebody. Let them know that somebody's glad you're existing. I'm glad that the one that's the source of all love many times comes to me and warms this heart up and holds it and speaks into it life and hope. See, those are the lasting things. It's not that I can do it. It's not, how can I perform better for you? But it's that other love that's a fruit. It's that faith that's always there. God says, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? What was he looking for? That instant faith? No. They'd be doing more miracles at that time when Christ is coming. There'll be more miracles done than ever before in history. So that kind of faith isn't the one that he's coming looking for. What is the faith he's coming looking for? God's been gone for so long and the church is in such a disaster, nobody believes anything anymore. We just have a whole attitude of unbelief. Amen? So he needs to produce. How does God produce fruit? How is fruit produced? If we're looking at a tree, how does a tree produce fruit? Well, we know a few things that happen. The mystery of it, I don't think any of us know. I don't think scientists know the mystery of it. But they know that something has to be transferred from the roots through the tree, through the limbs. And the same thing that gives life to a leaf, there's another product that flows through it that goes into the fruit, and it puts its nature into it. however sweet it's going to be, however bitter it's going to be, however juicy it's going to be, however dry it's going to be, what color it's going to be. All that genetic code is flowing through it. And out from it, you're beginning to see what the genetics can produce. That transfer of genetic code is how fruit is produced. When the Holy Spirit is in us, He begins to transfer genetic, divine genetic code into our life, and we start producing that fruit. As He is, so are we in this world. And that is how that faith is produced. The genetic code of an all-believing God begins to come through into our life, and our being and our character begins to be transformed. Genetic code doesn't just come off like a stream of scientific formulas at the end of a branch. It is transformed. That's the mystery. We know the genetic code is transferred to it, but what makes it not a leaf but a fruit? What is the mystery that makes the meat on it like it is, that makes the skin on it like it is, that makes the color of it what it is? What is the mystery of that? Who understands that mystery? Who understands that the Holy Spirit could take what He is? Who could understand the mystery that without an ovum and without any sperm, God can make a human being and put it inside of somebody's body? Who can believe? Who can understand that mystery? How did He do it? We don't know how. We just know that He did. We know that He took divine person and put it in a human person. That's all He told us. Someday there's going to be books and books and books up there. The Holy Spirit's going to write down all the code of everything He did to make what we are. Think of a child. The chromosomes from both mother and father get together, and now that genetic stream starts putting together. That's amazing, because they can look at our genetic code, and it's a scientific formula of little things that do this and that and that. But how does the mystery happen that this little bump on the end of this little cord of numbers and things make a brain and develop the meat in a brain? And develop all the syntax and a computer greater that wouldn't even fit in this room, and then put it in a tiny little head. What made that other little bump on the genetic code make the bone that goes around that brain and form it and shape it so that it's just right, just a little bit bigger and what made the other little bump just before it make the liquid that surrounds the brain inside of this thing so could sort of squish around and not get banged around? Yeah, I mean, who can you tell how that happens? Do we know the mystery? We now know that the genetic code is going to form something on the other end, but there's some part that's missing to us here, and that is, how does the genetic code, how does a sap or whatever go up here and know that this little bump makes a leaf and this little bump makes a fruit, and that fruit's going to have just the right skin, just the thickness of skin? Some it will be like an orange, and it will be orange in color, and it will be real thick, and it will be pitted, and so on and so forth. And the other one's going to be an apple with a real thin one. And the color's going to be different, and the taste is different, and the meat texture is different. Amazing. We say, oh, but you know, then they start playing around with genetics, and they mix what was it that they did the other day from the Florida down there, an orange and a grapefruit, and they put it together. Boy, did that taste good. I'm telling you, that tasted good. And they play around with these genetics, but still, do they know how the little bump on here and the little bump down there make what it makes? No. Well, that's how hard it would be for me to try to explain to you how the Holy Spirit makes fruit in our life and takes from the root of what He is, the person that He is, the personality, the characteristics of His person, and puts them into our life, and our life becomes like a branch, and out comes all these fruits of love, of meekness, of temperance, of long-suffering, of faith. Wow! These fruits that will last forever. these fruits that will be with you. Your tree will never quit producing these fruits of the Spirit. He keeps propagating himself into this earth. The Holy Spirit keeps making himself on this earth. That is what the fruit of faith is compared to the gift of faith. I think the gift of faith is necessary, but boy, the life of faith is eternal. Ask the Holy Spirit to produce the life of faith in you. I've been asking him lately. I said, Lord, you know, I think I'm a little bit lacking, a little bit too much lacking on this fruit of the Spirit. I have other ones. I think the Lord has developed other ones. The meekness one, the forgiving one, the loving one. He's worked on those. He's got a lot of other stuff in my character that's got to go. But I mean, as far as manifesting the Holy Spirit is manifested through the gifts. You see someone prophesying, you're seeing the Holy Spirit manifesting. Amen. See somebody praying the word of faith and somebody getting healed, you're seeing the Holy Spirit manifest. Don't thank them. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting. But man, you're around some people of faith that just live in faith and have that faith, and they're constantly speaking faith. Boy, I'm telling you, it's like an oasis in the middle of your desert. It's like fresh water when you're thirsty. And God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Amen? Well, we didn't come anywhere near finishing this, but gifts express ability. Fruit express character. And so God wants to produce the fruit of faith. And I just wanted to show you that there's a difference between the gift of faith and the fruit of faith, just like there was a difference between faith and hope and between faith and sight. So we'll move along, moving right along. Amen. So when all nine forms of spiritual fruit are present and fully developed, they represent the totality of Christian character. Let me say that again. When all nine forms of spiritual fruit are present and fully developed, they represent the totality of Christian character. So faith is just one. We got a long way to go. Amen. How many want fruit for the Holy Spirit in their life? Amen. A quiet, steady, unwavering trust in the goodness and wisdom and faithfulness of God that won't bend under circumstances and won't cave in. And there's a probability, no quality more distinctly characteristic of a childness than truthfulness. The characteristics of God. Amen.